TPR.
But anyway, welcome to Roundup episode 9.
And welcome to Sweater Weather.
Yes. yeah, this is the October playlist for Hamnava. As always, we have Zirak. Yeah, how did this month's playlist go in terms of collection?
It was too many songs. Like, that's why it took so long for me. It's because a bunch of songs in there have been there for a while, but there's just like so many new songs that came out that listening to all of them, it's just like a lot of work. I've been noticing, actually, I've been thinking since we've been doing this, I've been writing lesser than I used to. I used to write like twice a week religiously for like 2 years.
Right.
And then now I think just like as life has gotten busier and things have gotten like there's less time, I'm writing less, which I understood part of it was just me. But I think like since I've been doing these playlists, which in the middle of last year, I am now listening and trying to like sort through more music. And I find that that's probably taking chunk of energy, because I look back at the things I've written and there's two functions to it, right? There's one function is discovery, which is like music that you wouldn't have otherwise come across. So like, I don't need to write about an Atif Aslam song because you will hear about it. But like, if there's a song that like someone has, you know, 1,000 followers or 2,000 followers, that's really good. And like, is sort of, you know, outplaying their audience.
Yeah.
There's sort of that discovery, discovering those songs. And then there is, I think, like giving explanations to songs that are working well and trying to figure out why they're working well and like, you know, having a good discussion.
So people understand music better.
People understand music better. Yeah. I think it's all, there's also just kind of an exhibition element to it, right? Like people like hearing, like this is the whole reaction video element, which is that people basically like hearing nice things about things that they like.
Yeah, sure.
Like nice. You know, it's good. So I think that's kind of partly my function. There's a sort of entertainment value there. But I think I have let go of the entertainment value for the curation value. Because just the amount of music that you have to go through to get through like, okay, 10 or 15 songs that you like is a lot. So if you see the Taza Mal playlist now that I have on my profile, it's just this. I think it's a lot of songs in there that I haven't even had a chance to like fully listen through. Yeah, tough. But good, you know, good problems to have. If
do you
like...
think? Do you think you feel like because you're talking about stuff over here, that function of explanation internally, you're sort of feeling like it's being addressed?
A little bit. I should probably repeat more. I think it's helpful because I think just doing it in my own head, sometimes it's hard to tell what things are real and what things are not. You know, so if you can have an interesting discussion about them, then you can tell, this is something worth writing about or worth expanding on more. Or so forth. And if I was writing more, maybe we'd have more things to talk about. I think it should only help. So hopefully more writing coming soon. But just lots of music.
So the first song, Cold Hours, you were insistent that I had to be included, and I was like, oh, I don't know what song this is. But when I heard it, I realized I had heard the song, not as a song, but as background music to Insta Reels thing.
Yes.
So basically just around the Mujhe Nahi Pata wala tag, where someone was just like, the sketch was like about a situation they don't have an answer to day life. Yeah. But the song is deep. Like, the lyrics are great, great lyrics. And, you know, like he says, and I was very offended, sort of pseudo offended in the lyrics.
I know what line you're going to say.
It's like, oh, I'm 20, but my problems are like, I am 30. I was like, oh, how terrible. To be 30. But
I don't know if I felt sympathetic or attacked seen.
In these moments, I choose to feel attacked. But how did this song come to your attention? It is great. Is it very popular? It should be.
It is ridiculously popular.
Right, okay, great.
It has like, 6 million on YouTube, 8 million on Spotify.
Wow.
It is crazy. And so Umair is big. Aleem, I didn't think, was this big beforehand. So let's see. Like, it's Aleem's biggest song after is 800 on Spotify.
Achha.
Right? So, and this is 8 million. So order of magnitude jump that has happened for him. So I think that's why it made sense. We had to talk about that to be on the playlist because of just like how big a hit it is and where it comes from in terms of like that it's not a kind of Atif Aslam release, it's not a Coke Studio release. It is two indie artists literally put up a lyric video on YouTube. There is not even a video and it is huge.
Yeah.
And so, and if you look at Aleem's audience on Spotify, all the top five cities are all Indian.
Right. Okay. Yeah. 1.4 million monthly listeners. Yeah. Delhi, Mumbai, Pune, Bengaluru, and Ahmedabad. Wow. And 42,000 followers. All of these, considering 8 million plays, is even bigger than all of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think if I'm not wrong, that Mohammad Shami, the Indian cricketer, used the song is one of his short form videos.
That would do it.
I'm sure there were other people also, but it's hard to keep track. Like, you can't go into TikTok and be like, show me the most famous people that use this video.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I have not figured out a way to do it.
Yeah.
But I think, so how you discovered this song is really the story of it, right? Which is that this song is perfect to be used in short form video, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, because it's essentially like an audio meme. Right? Mujhe nahi pata, mujhse mat poochho na. Like, that chorus can be used for so many different things.
Yeah.
And then I think once you use that as a discovery to the song, then basically the path you laid out is what happens, is that there's a lot of depth to it. There is, the writing is kind of,
it's very mature.
In this, very almost mature, as if a writing.
30-year-old wrote it.
Right.
Continue to.
Aleem expects some hate mail from people in their 30s.
People in their 40s don't know how to use the internet. But yeah, it's just us.
I am angry like I'm 40 right now. Yeah. I don't think there's like a repeated verse in the recording, which is kind of crazy. And there's a line in the song where he's like, "Maine aage badhna hota to main gaali galoosh kar deta, lekin main woh nahi kar raha." You know, so there's also that kind of referentialism. So it's all like kind of everyday problems. Yeah. And then I think as you get into it, people find more things that are applied to them in the song, in the writing of the song. And so I think then it catches on. So even with things that are big hits like this, I feel like there are things that are just memes, but this one is not just a meme. Like, there is, it's built really well for to be used by people in their videos, and then the discovery lends itself to reward when you actually go listen to the song, and then people get hooked onto it because it is kind of catchy.
Yeah, no, it's very catchy, and also there's a variety of subjects. Like, I mean, of course, there's some sort of melancholy and lack of direction generally thematically, but I think there's like relationship bits in there. There's success, fame, just life, a lot of these things. So it's not even about just one problem. Where, you know, like some girl left him or he left.
It's not shallow in that way. It's not about one very simple thing. It sketches the image of a person that I think, you know, if I don't know how true this is globally, probably true globally, but let's think about it in a Pakistan sense. If you grew up in Pakistan and you still have friends there, chances are you know a person that is similar to the person being described in the video. Right?
Yeah.
A person that has strong opinions, has goals that they feel capable of reaching, and they feel like they're driven, they are motivated, they are also intelligent, but also they feel to be somehow floundering in their life. And it goes from like not being able to reach these goals, but also very simple things like, you know, not being in touch with people, which shows up here. Like, tum reply nahi dete message ka. Interactive nahi rahe, social new, and these are things that you hear, especially from like I think young people will hear this from older people in their life, just like, you know, you are no longer engaging. And I think, and it's
that early 20s sort of phase though is also that late teen to young adult transition phase where you've left school, but there might be university, but then there might be future on careers, jobs, whatever, where your social circles and your relationship with those circles is also changing. So, and this is like true, I suppose, since forever, only getting more true with social media. But like, you know, there were songs in the 80s about this, 90s, now, and currently as well, where this sort of vibe is a problem. I mean, there was like this whole, I had this like moment of, I don't know if it'd be philosophical, but you know, some sort of human condition kind of issue. I was like, oh, even kids today have this, like this problem isn't going away.
I think it's a natural, it's a function of age, but I think we can probably all acknowledge that levels of sort of depression, anxiety, like mental illness, especially in young people, fostered in part by social media, in part by the internet, in part by just like, you know, economic struggles. In Pakistan, especially, all of those things become more acute.
Even at least the awareness of mental issues.
Right.
Because before it was just like, oh, someone's sad or someone's just difficult or unhappy. But now there's more language to even like frame those things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think about it in terms of the social impact of very small things. Like when we left college about 10, 15 years ago, suppose we won't talk about what age that makes us. But you think about how much you pay for college in Pakistan. You think about how much you make as a job getting into it. And, you know, many years of your income would not pay for a good college. And that has only become more acute over time. And I think the fact that that leads to this sort of state with people where young people obviously want to get somewhere.
Young people
are young people. Like you can assume that young people want to get somewhere. And yet we have this entire generation that the generation above them is writing off as people that don't want to get anything done. And so there must be some systemic issue underneath. And I think this just points to all of that. It's kind of also why I found hip hop interesting, because I feel it talks about these problems from that perspective in a much more frequent and repetitive and consistent way than many other kinds of music. You know, it's not just hopeful optimism. There's a lot of kind of acknowledgement of bad circumstances.
I think the lyric-heavy aspect of hip hop sort of really allows these problems to also be like more problems to be mentioned or more things to be mentioned than, for example, just like verse, chorus, verse, finished.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it has to be much more direct. You can't hide behind metaphor as much. Like you are more likely, as we talked about before, like you can tell a full story.
Exactly.
Fictional or non-fictional.
Yeah.
This song, for example, is like, you know, sketches an entire person. Like there's not a lot of wishy-washiness where you can enter your own kind of experience in. It's very directly talking about certain things, and some may appeal to you and some won't, but there's not a lot of empty space that you can add in. And I think it speaks to a lack of community also. Like clearly the character in the song has people that they should be interacting with but aren't.
Sure.
Right. And there is some craving of social interaction that there is very little energy for. And I think this points again to a kind of a lack of community in many of our cities. Like the cities are big, they're dense, people are working. But there's a lot of disconnection, especially within young people. And I think this is just something that we like need to acknowledge of how this affects entire generations. Like we've seen this, I think, in the Western world with older populations, like when they don't have in-home caretakers, like when they don't live with their family, like loneliness begins to have a big impact on their health.
Yeah.
We don't see that problem as acutely in Pakistan because older relatives tend to live with younger relatives in the house. But I think, you know, looking at the younger people in the house as a people that require that same level of community and interaction and being able to find people that respond to them, I think that's kind of important. And for hip hop, I think just looking at it as a almost, you know, a movement is the, I hesitate to use the word movement, but let's use that for a second.
Right.
In terms of how much people are connecting with it, right? Like these songs about lack of connection are bringing people together. I think there's something to it that's worth acknowledging.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's just a sign of how well put together this song is, like from a conceptual and lyrical point of view, that we've managed to have so many branching discussions about, like, you know, Pakistan and society and the human condition just based off this one song that somebody just wrote and is now very popular and is being used as meme background music. Which
good
is,
for them, you know, like it's, I'm really happy to see this kind of growth. And they're so like, they post about it with such kind of like, kind of humble victoriousness almost. Yeah. Like it's like they've conquered everything. I think it made it to like the global viral
it
charts on Spotify.
I'm not surprised.
So it's huge, and I think it's worth acknowledging. Like, good for them. Kind of really happy to see it happen. It's great that it's built off of something that has so much kind of substance to it as well. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, Aleem, if you want to come talk to us, I mean, even though we're old, we can work something out.
We will tell you what it's like to be 30.
Yeah, there are problems you have no idea about. I think let's talk about Kash Bhopal. So Atif Aslam, I've had a curious relationship with, in the sense that he obviously knows, doesn't know who I am. But remember back in the day when the biggest issue in Pakistani society was who was right, Jal or Atif?
Wow. Yeah, I feel like collectively we need to relive that moment crazy it was.
And it was great that was the biggest issue. Like, who was right and no economy? I think there was maybe a war going on next door, but our concerns could be compartmentalized. So I chose Jal. And
you chose Jal?
Yeah. I fully chose Jal. Yeah, yeah.
Now that I think about it, I think Atif did come out of that looking like not the bad guy, if I'm not wrong, at that moment.
Yeah. There were a few things, testimony I received from Mikal Hassan, and it was in the news. And Atif's album came out quickly. It wasn't very well produced, and it really cast like a shady vibe on that particular crisis. But obviously, Jal has vanished. They never were able to attain the sort of success. Atif has become the king of the universe in terms of, you know, Pakistani music. And all of that seems very long ago. But what happened was that I never really got into Atif's music because, you know, I'm a very moral person.
I have principles.
Yeah. But now I find myself able to, you know, appreciate his music much more easily, especially since the past couple years of like the sort of reinvented Atif sort of music, where he's sort of dipping his toes into modern hip hop R&B type music and working with younger producers. And I felt this song was also like great. I don't know if I like the original version, which I haven't heard, but this I found, you know, very with the times, Gum Hour 2022, you know, all those things. So yeah, what's your, seem like you sided with the wrong party at the time, crisis.
So when I say Atif came out of it looking like the bad guy, I mean, I'm making no judgment on what actually happened, because I think as more people have talked about it over the last few years, including Atif and Gohar also, which if you haven't seen their interviews with Samina Pirzada on YouTube, great.
Oh no.
Especially where they talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Amazing. So you know, I think obviously the story is much like more complex than
we had thought when they were, you know, children at the time.
Right.
So
yeah, like, the story is more complex than we would have been able to assume in our 20s. But now that we are in our 30s, we can look at it with a little bit more wisdom.
Yeah.
The thing that about Atif that really kind of strikes me as amazing is how all of that is so behind him.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know? It was generations ago, as far as, you know.
And I think by his second album, it was behind him.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I think he sort of looked back, okay, it was a thing that happened and then didn't dwell on it at all. And you can, just the amount of growth in his work as an artist and how fast he moves for an artist that big. Mm-hmm. That is what's amazing about Atif is, he released a song with Mahira Khan in the video a little while ago, which everybody was like, oh, it's like a Hasan Rahim Manu song.
Yeah.
And then Manu's written a few things for Atif recently, right?
Yeah.
And so Atif is basically singing Manu songs now.
Yeah.
Manu's only been on the scene like 2 years.
Yeah.
And to think that Atif is now singing Manu songs for an artist that is that big, has this much of an audience, to move the needle so much so quickly. And I think Atif was singing Tajdar-e-Haram like how many years ago now? Maybe like 5 or 6, something around that number. And if you, abhi main Eid Milad Nabi pe Lahore mein tha.
Right.
And so every street corner that is playing Tajdar-e-Haram is not playing the Sabri Brothers version.
Oh,
they are
playing
the Atif version.
Wow.
Everywhere. So Atif is like runs these cities. Right?
Yeah,
and then here he is being like lo-fi version.
Yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Cities, you are now behind. I am with the kids.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that is really the notable part about this. And to comment on the sort of greatness of Atif as an artist, that he is so far beyond anybody else in the industry that he is not playing the same league. He's not playing the same games. He isn't appearing on the same wavelength. I think even when he appeared on Coke Studio, like early on in his career, there was talk of how not to overuse him. Like he wouldn't show up many successive years in a row.
Right.
Because the idea was that, that it would just be too much because he was that much of a star. So
and like if you think about it in the industry, what Jesse B. Hay in the industry, there are, I don't know if there's anyone at his level, you know?
Rahat, maybe?
But Rahat doesn't do that many releases, popular releases even, you know, he doesn't
definitely not for the kids.
And Rahat also, I feel like in my mind, I've relegated him more to like a Bollywood plus Coke Studio kind of.
Almost Shaukat Amanat Ali.
Almost, yeah. But Atif has had Bollywood. Atif's been on Coke Studio. And Atif has independent releases quite regularly. Like every year, you get at least a couple Atif songs. Or maybe.
So let's ask this way. Like I think if you look at it in terms of the all-time greats of Pakistani music, right? Yeah. Is Atif, where is Atif on that list? Like,
I mean,
is
Atif, he's
in terms of influence, he's definitely on the list. I feel anybody making the argument that Atif is not on the list is not invited to the podcast in the future.
I'll have to turn down so many people. No, but like, yeah, because the list that we're now quoting is like, you know, people like Vital Signs, Junoon, you know,
Nusrat.
Oh shit, Nusrat.
Alamgir.
Yeah. Alamgir also.
I mean, but then you can go into the classics also, like Mehdi Hasan.
Noorjahan. Noorjahan is also not classical. Like,
yeah. Soul. Noorjahan, film singers. Yeah.
Film singers. Who was, you know, the brother-sister duo?
Nazia Zoeb.
Nazia Zoeb. Nazia Hasan is also in that list in terms of Vo. So, yeah, it's a bit sobering when you think of it that way. That now Atif is also on that list. Because, like...
He must be.
He has to be.
Like... He has to be. And in a way, I think he's bigger than a lot of these people.
Yeah.
Like, you can, you know, you can describe bigness in on many axes, like how much they've influenced other musicians, how, like, you can look at kind of musicality and how they have changed the brand of music. You can look at just sheer number of people that they reach. But I think, if you look at...
Technology is also, like, a force multiplier now, which didn't exist at that time. But... yeah, because Vital Signs, I think, was finished before Junoon became a big thing. And Junoon had a lot of mainstream global appeal.
India, yeah. Junoon had a big
India
appeal. Some, I think, like Western appeal as well. Atif feels like he is at Junoon level to me.
I'd say so, yeah.
Right? Like, if Atif performed anywhere in the world, he would attract the crowd that Junoon would at their peak.
Yeah.
I find that, you know, I didn't see Junoon live at their peak abroad.
No. Yeah.
But I would say that from what I understand of how big those concerts were, that Atif would probably
Be Strings
in that
also,
same league.
I'd say Strings also. Because I'd say Strings is actually closer to Atif than perhaps Junoon. Because Strings is also semi-modern in terms of where they're placed era-wise, post-2000s. So they did have some technology... that they could be...
Strings had a big Bollywood moment.
They had a big
Bollywood. Their Bollywood moment was huge.
Yeah, Spider-Man, they were going to be on the soundtrack.
You know, the Zinda soundtrack with John Ibrahim and Sanjay Dutt. And then John Ibrahim showed up in a video as an angel. Like, that was a lot.
Yeah. they tapered off pretty heavily after, you know, the first couple albums after their return. Their
Dhani was the peak for Strings.
Dhani was the super peak, but I don't know.
I don't look back at Atif's career as having peaked.
No. Nor has there been such a tapering off. There has been in the sense that he's not doing Bollywood anymore. He was very
popular. Yeah, but I don't think about looking back at Atif's career as like, oh, he was much bigger 5 years ago or 6 years ago than he is now at any point in his career. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah.
Like he's only become bigger. I can totally imagine if he comes to the US, he would fill a stadium.
Yeah. Despite
no question.
Despite not having like every single year there's a release. Like there might have been years with lower Atif presence.
Right.
But then when he comes back, his overall thing just increases.
Right. And he will definitely attract a diaspora India crowd despite not having Bollywood releases in the present, because his Bollywood releases have been so big that they are still a thing. Like if Atif goes to London, will Atif attract a big crowd? Yes. And so I think the one place where you can look back at other artists maybe is that perhaps Atif, in terms of musicality, does not change the direction of genres as much as everybody else does. But I think to Atif's credit, what he does is that he changes his own music so much to fit the present. Like in a way, that's how he has ridden the wave. Like Junoon, and for example, let's take Junoon, right? I think Junoon did not change in their own music as much as they changed the course of the rest of the rock industry. Nusrat is similar also, where I think Nusrat had a lot of evolution, but Nusrat has a greater impact on the scene than the scene did on Nusrat. But I'm not sure that's true of Atif.
Yeah. Like if you say what is the Atif sound, there are many. Right. Whereas with the others, like Junoon is what became known as Sufi rock. That is Junoon. Junoon isn't doing like Coldplay style softer music, and they're not going heavier than they were usually. That makes sense.
The one way that I think Atif does impact the industry is the sort of amount of money that he generates and the sort of how regular of a band Atif has kind of underneath him. I think like Atif's band is like a big deal. Like if you're playing with Atif across the world.
Okay.
I mean, imagine that, right? Like this is basically the most important Pakistani creative act in terms of a regular gig that you can probably get. Especially in terms of presentation to the world. Is being in Atif's band. And I think with the amount of money that Atif generates and with the amount that he puts back into the industry in terms of that, like in terms of the sort of the videos he makes, the music he makes, the people that he has to have on the song, like I think, you know, all of the, what was the Kayaz band was basically in that Atif circle for the longest time. Now I think there's a different group of people, but I think Atif has a huge impact.
Because, you know, that different group of people, there were a lot of these session musicians who ended up being in like Karakoram. And, you know, they ended up going out and making their own thing. When the COVID stop happened and there were no sessions to be had, they just did their own thing and they were so good, which is why they were session musicians for those people, that their own actual product was also worth standing up on its own feet kind of thing.
If you think about Gumby, for example, session musician, toured with Vital Signs and Junoon before he then Nuri. Started doing his own work, like Nuri and then everything else after. I think that level of impact is also worth acknowledging.
Yeah, for sure.
Team Atif all the way. Come at me.
Yeah, I will allow him to continue to make music. two things before we end. One very important corrections. We've now made so many episodes that people have responded to the episodes and things we say are being noted. So Zee Pangash followed the podcast and she was like very happy that people are doing music related discussions. And immediately I wanted to delete everything we'd done because I was like, oh no, Zee Pangash.
You're listening to us? Oh no.
I think this does sort of push my egotistical ambitions of I don't think anybody's really talking about music and Zirak is and I want to do it, so maybe I'll get Zirak and we'll do the same thing. So eventually world domination is what we're aiming for. Second thing, Arsalan pointed out very hilariously, we talked about English lyrics in music. And Arsalan is a singer who had a song that we talked about where we might have mentioned offhand that it was a bold decision for him to do a verse in English. And he said he's very happy that we mentioned the song and also pointed out it was just one line.
Only did we say that we talk about English lyrics in a song, we based the entire discussion upon the fact that there was too much English in this song.
Yeah,
and how brave. I think I confidently said that there is Aasim Azhar ke Habibi gaane mein to sare ek do line hai aur isme to stanza hai pura.
Yeah.
So I think the moral of the story is if you're going to be stupid, do it with confidence.
Yeah.
And then also, you will.
Where it might have been just a line, as he claimed about his own song.
I checked. I think Arsalan is correct about his own life.
the impact of that one line was as much as a whole verse.
Good save.
Yeah, I thought I was
like, I don't think this is on him.
Yeah, yeah. Generally, you know, I find myself trying to not accept any blame.
This is his fault.
Somehow.
This is you being young, so good for you. I think this is you showing that you still have 20-year-old problems. Arsalan, thank you for writing in. We will check our facts a little bit more. I think the thing that was even sadder is that last podcast, I even made the joke that this is a podcast, so I can say factually incorrect things, not actually intending to say factually incorrect things. I just made that as a joke, but clearly it was foreshadowing. So next time I will be more careful.
It's great. It's great. We have a whole Roundup universe developing in my mind. I don't know.
Char bande counts as a universe, right? Three is company, four is the universe.
One of them is Yebangash. So,
and in the four include the two of us.
Yes. So. The other thing I want to talk about, again, our favorite, but foreign accusations of nepotism aa jayenge, Natasha Nirani, through no fault of her own.
Married to me. I believe there is some fault of her own here. Like,
through no fault of her own that she's in the list. Because, like, were it not Zirak making the list, this is a new song. It came out. She's a big deal. And the song is great. So, jo bhi list banayega, again, not accepting any blame.
Koi bhi banayega, to usme hoga hi. Yeah.
This would have shown logic.
Jal ka adat. Don't tell me that you listened to the Jal Adat version, actually. Sorry.
Pause. I did. Of course I did.
You prefer the Jal Adat version to the Atif Adat version?
Yeah. So, I feel
this
like...
This is not an acceptable
music. Even the beginning. I feel like musically and production-wise, it is better. Because I think they had more time to make it. And usme bhi, because hipster, there was a Bikhra Hoon Main version, which is sort of like, as one person hilariously in my A-levels said, it's like Jawab-e-Adat, as if to say Jawab-e-Shikwa. And I was like, I hate all of this.
Jawab-e-Adat, I will give you.
Yeah.
Okay. Jawab-e-Adat, I will give you. Pause before you accepted that you listen to the Jal Adat version indicates that you also are aware that you are wrong.
I feel like, given how things have played out, had Atif been relegated to, you know, the halls of history and not become the biggest, I would have been like, I was right. But now that he's so big and also has done so much good stuff, I'm like, how right was I?
I even encourage you to introspect over this next week.
Yeah, yeah. Something I refuse to do generally.
No, sorry. Coming back.
Yeah. This was my favorite song in her Boiler Room performance, where, you know, a version of this, an early version or a stripped down version of this was done. I was very interested. This is not a very Natasha Nirani song, because, you know, she's done so many different things as well. The song came out and video bhi achhi hai and everything's great, and then I see ke your name is also there, and I was like, oh shit. This is like, you know, really spreading your wings. I don't know, I started very strong but I lost sort of
wings. Is a interesting choice of words given that we have just talked about John Abraham in the strings video.
So great song. Nothing really to say about this song being good or bad, it's great. What did you do in this song?
मैं सिर्फ उधर मौजूद था. नो, नताशा जनरस टू गिव मी अ राइटिंग क्रेडिट. आई वाज लकी इनफ टू बी एबल टू हेल्प हर काइंड ऑफ राइट सम ऑफ द वर्ड्स टू द सॉन्ग. सो या, इट वाज ग्रेट. आई थिंक शी हैज टॉक्ड अबाउट दिस इन अदर प्लेसेस. पार्ट ऑफ द राइटिंग ऑफ द सॉन्ग इज यूजिंग इमेजरी एंड ट्रोप्स दैट आर वेल नोन इन पाकिस्तानी म्यूजिक एंड देन यूजिंग देम इन न्यू वेज.
Yeah.
So, Laiya, the word itself, I think is, that's, you know, Natasha brought that idea in and she had like a full song fleshed out. So really, I didn't do much except for now I can talk about this and claim credit. Yes, encouragement,
yeah.
I hope. It's, so I think her, looking at it in the context of the rest of Natasha's work makes this even more interesting. So her work is as a musician, but also as a music historian. So she looks at 60s, 70s, 80s Pakistani film music, you know, any older kind of vinyl from film soundtracks, as well as individual singers. And so she studies that a lot and sees the sort of impact on the culture and kind of how it's been erased. And so for her, these influences show up now in her music. And so the idea of using this sort of this imagery that's been used before, so Laina just as kind of, you know, language terms, you know, Dil Lagana, it's been used quite a bit. So that's the sort of genesis of the whole song. There's a you know, kite flying stanza also in there, which is very like Faria Parvez. So there's like these references that are done.
Cannot escape her first biggest hit. I mean, that is forever in people's minds. That just is the first thing.
Such a big hit.
It was such a crazy like hit. Yeah, exactly. And the song was obviously amazing. And the sort of
Faria
like
Parvez had some great songs.
Yeah.
Please show up on the podcast. I like that I'm not just inviting people on your behalf. So there's that. Yeah. And then I think the video is done in a very not backward looking way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of forward looking video with all of these kind of references. So I think that's the kind of genesis of the song, and that kind of helps frame where it's
from. Yeah. Still not sure what you did.
Neither am I. So I think you'll have to talk to Sebastian.
Not being evasive. It's Are you being evasive? I mean, maybe you are, which would make this more mysterious.
No, so I helped her with the words little bit, but I think she came in with it. But she credited me as a lyric writer, which I think is a little bit generous. She had a song kind of through, and then and I was able to help her with it, which was nice.
Great. I mean, my interest in this was, you know, it just so happens that you are connected. By connected, I mean married to Natasha, but also, you know, now you're also interested at least in working on music rather than just talking about music.
Yeah, so my career as a failed musician may still have some some hopes left in it. No, I don't think my future is in the music industry, making the music.
Sure.
But it's nice to be able to help.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to do a bit of the artwork.
You did the artwork also?
Yeah, it's
next
credit pane boss.
Please listen to the song, but also go through the credits in great detail.
It was a lot of fun. I really like working with Natasha. So it's a joy.
It would be very awkward if you said I hated the process.
Honestly, knowing the two of us, we can. If you had us both on the podcast together, a fight is likely to break out.
Yeah.
So, future blockbuster episode upcoming.
Bilkul.
Husband wife duo fight about who deserves credit on their song together.
Yeah. I'll just watch. Just like drop in the most incendiary words. Okay.
And then chop it really well. And put the Karan Johar music whenever one of us turns.
And I'll drop in Cold Hours behind wherever it fits.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. That's the end of the episode. Comments, questions, complaints, corrections. Please engage. Okay. Thanks, Eric.